Hills.
I'll just pass this on to you while we're waiting. Yes, sir, what is your name, sir?
Isaiah Martinez.
Okay, sir, we were just talking about you, so we have perfect timing. Okay, welcome, sir, and the Honorable Mr. Michael Jackson is going to serve as your lead, so as soon as he gets his paperwork together, you will be listening to the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, sir.
Okay.
Good morning, sir. Almost afternoon.
Good morning.
Could you please state your full name and your ADC number for us for the record?
243-656. Isaiah Martinez.
Okay. Sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable David Neal. Coming down the line is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left, sir, is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And my name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'll be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Grady, sir. Excuse me. Mr. Martinez, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. Did you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Can you repeat that, please?
Prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, you represented yourself today?
No, I did not hire one.
Are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Grady in. You also have a supporter here, Ms. Sanchez. Ms. Sanchez, are you going to be speaking? Okay, so I'd like to swear all three of you in at this time, okay? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Ms. Sanchez?
I do.
Mr. Grady? Okay. So your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have three allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read you the allegations, I need you to state whether it's true or false. Do you understand?
Yes.
The first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of cocaine on or about May 21st, 2018, per the task lab report dated May 22nd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. The next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by providing a urine specimen that was adulterated by dilution on or about May 21st, 2018, per the task lab report dated May 22nd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. And then the last allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to complete the MRC program on or about July 12, 2018, as directed on May 25, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, thank you, sir. Well, based on the admission of Mr. Martinez, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapsed or is about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Neal. This. Okay, so we're going to go on to phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board would make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. Then I'm going to go over some information with you on the warrant, sir. Then we'll give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board. And then we'll give Ms. Sanchez the opportunity to speak to the board, okay?
Okay.
All right. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Martinez was released from DOC on December 20th of 2017. He was arrested on July 12th of 2018. by parole staff. He has no new charges, he returned back to DLC on July 12th of 2018. He has a CSED of September 19th of 2019, and reflects 0 absconding days. Current conviction, 2009 burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 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 2009 burglary first degree, 10 years, 6 months. 2009 armed robbery, 10 years, 6 months. 2009 kidnapping, 10 years, 6 months. 2009 burglary second degree, 3 years, 6 months. He has no prior convictions. He has one term with DLC. His CUIR scores are 3.3, mental health scores are 1, substance use scores are 2. Mr. Martinez self-admitted to being a member of the East Side Mesa Locos, criminal street gang. He has no prior term of supervision. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. There's no other arrests. Community risk score is a G8V9.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gregory. Okay, so I see that when you were released, you were approved to reside at 15 North Ashland in Mesa, Arizona, and there you were staying with Ms. Sanchez. Is that right, sir?
Yes.
Were you still staying there at the time that you were taken into custody?
Yes.
Okay. It looks like that you were working for Mark's Demolition, located in Mesa. Were you still working for them, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to your program, sir, it looks like on December 20th, you were referred to treatment and assessment at TASC under the color of ivory. You submitted 7 negative UAs while on community supervision. Then you submitted 3 deleted UAs on February 14th and March 17th and May 21st. You submitted a positive UA on, looks like March 26th, positive for amphetamines, and then in April, you submitted a positive for 8 opiates, and then in May, you were positive for cocaine. It says that you were referred to career criminal class and substance abuse classes through the community accountability program. You were discharged from the classes due to your lack of attendance. Sir, what was going on? It looks like, Mr. Martinez, you got out and you were doing pretty good, and then you just relapsed. What happened?
Well, you know, I did a good little chunk in prison, and I really didn't have a responsibility in here. I got out and I started working, and you know, the bills were catching up to me, and I was just going through a little bit of stress, and I was kind of just looking at drugs to maybe make me feel better and cope with all the stress I was going through with the work and having to pay the bills, and then old friends, and I just made a bad decision, a couple bad decisions.
Well, so it looks like that in your sanctions and programming that you had a PO that was working with you and tried to work with you and put you in some programming, but you just didn't complete the programming. So what, were you just running around with old friends, or what was the problem, sir?
Well, with the program, I don't think that program was working for me, just because everybody that was there were just coming from the streets, getting high. There was drugs there, and the program was like a group program, and I don't really do very well when it's a group. I'm more of like a one-on-one, and I was just real distracted, and like I said, just bad decision making.
So you had 7 negative UAs when you were released in December, then you had negative UAs, and then it looks like back when you got around February, you just relapsed, sir. You were doing good. I mean, and it shows that you did that many UAs that you had the potential of doing good, but you just have to make up your mind. Have you been doing drugs since you've been incarcerated?
No, sir.
So you've been drug-free since you were arrested on July 12th?
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
So you've been have you been drug-free since you were rearrested by July 12th?
Yes, drug-free.
Are you taking any programming since you've been incarcerated, AA, NA, or any programming, sir?
I did a relapse prevention packet. They have packets here, and I tried to apply for the NA and AA, but there's a long waiting list, very long.
So did you complete the relapse prevention program?
Yes.
So you say that there was drugs around the programming that you were in, but when you were released to stay with Ms. Sanchez on 15 North Aston Avenue in Mesa. So how did you wind up around drugs when you started to relapse? Because you didn't get put into the program until after you started testing positive.
Well, when I got out of that program, I ran into an old friend, and it was just downhill from there. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I stopped talking to him. I cut him off, and because he was just no good, he was just gonna lead me back to prison. And I think it was just a little too late for that.
All right, so I'm gonna see if the board has any additional questions for you. So no questions coming from the board, Mr. Sanchez. I'm going to see if Ms. Sanchez, if you want to take the opportunity to just come up to the mic there, say your full name, and then present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
Hello, my name is Alvaro Sanchez, and I'm here to speak in behalf of Isaiah Martinez. Basically, here, what I'm trying to let you guys see is take before taking consideration of giving back his release or not, is focusing on all the good things that he did do while he was out. Like you said, he came out, he got a job, he was actually doing very well, staying focused, you know, going to work every day. He wasn't missing anywhere. I believe there was a recommendation letter from his job that was faxed, and I don't know if you guys received it. That was actually from the manager. They were very pleased with him at his work. He was a hard worker. I do understand that, you know, the whole idea of becoming back in routine and actually adulting after being in prison for so long, you don't know what it is to, you know, have responsibilities, to really adjust to the work life, or, you know, actually having to pay bills or whatnot. So it becomes a little bit stressful. My main focus was basically parting him from those bad things that he was having. For a while, I wasn't really okay with it, just because I knew that they were not going to bring anything good for him. But I could tell you his support system outside of his friends, he stopped talking to a lot of people that, you know, were bringing bad to him, or that were not really people that he was supposed to be hanging around with. So what we started doing is that when he started having that relapse time, you know, he went to the program, he didn't feel like the program was really much like counseling or anything. It was just mostly like you went, you served some time, and then you came back. You know, it wasn't really focusing on him for what his real issue was, which was relapsing. You know, he came from this addiction from when he was in prison. Slowly been working to be off of it, but I believe, you know, you fall back into temptation being around it. So since there was no drugs at the house, you know, he was dropping negative UAs, and once that friend started coming around, that's when, you know, obviously temptation hit, and then he started going down this path where he was taking the wrong decisions. But his PO officer was actually very, like, he was really trying to help him, you know, do better and give him a chance or work with him. But those programs that he was put in was not really much of a actual help towards his personal use or anything like that. But most importantly, I feel like, you know, his support, his emotional support that he provided at home. I have two boys at home that, you know, look up to him or see him as a father figure. They don't know where he's at right now. They feel like he's at work, and they feel that, you know, my son's 6 and the other one's 3. They ask for him constantly. He grew very close to the kids in the 6 months that he was out. We were actually alternating watching them. You know, I was working opposite schedules. He was working nights, which I could see why it was a little bit overwhelming for him, because he was working from like 8 in the night to like 6 in the morning the next day. And then I would leave at 7 in the morning and then come back, you know, and then we would kind of switch with the kids. But that could be a little bit stressful, you know, for somebody that's not used to working, first of all. You know, he came from being in prison and having a totally different lifestyle to being into a home where we actually had structure. You know, we needed to pay bills, we needed to go to work, we needed to do all this, basically a functional family. And I could say that a lot of times that these people get, you know, reincarcerated, they go back, but they don't have a support system outside of a prison, you know? So their life fails because of it. As of now, I feel like he does have enough support system to get him out of those ways. Most importantly, me, because I don't really feel like, you know, that's the way that he should turn his life around. He has so much potential, and he's a hard worker. He knows what he wants, but I feel like he gets distracted easily with, you know, with these friends, of course, you know, old friends, friends that he had from high school, friends that he feels like were his friends, but they're not really his friends, you know, because, of course, they've had their own bad paths, you know, from then until now. So, basically, I just want you to really reconsider, you know, the fact that he is trying, and I'm pretty sure that he's really going to continue to try to better himself and put himself in a position where he's going to do something to get himself out of the situation, because I don't think he wants to be in there, and I don't think that, you know, he wants to come out and do anything bad. He wasn't committing crimes, you know, he relapsed on drugs, but it's something that can be worked with. He's not heavily addicted. It's not a drug that you can say, oh my God, I need help and I can't get off of it. But, you know, of course, friends, people that come around, the environment is definitely going to affect that. And if it's already in your system or you've done in the past, it's going to be something that's going to be triggered when it's around, you know? So maybe the fact that he only had to drop once a month, he didn't have that supervision really on him, kind of give him a little bit of freedom of being able to, you know, do what he wanted to do, and then didn't think he was going to get caught for it, you know. But there's always consequences to things that are done. So, you know, I'm totally aware that he didn't do what he was supposed to in regards to, you know, meeting every regulation, but he did call every day. He was very in communication with his parole officer, and I was always there trying to make sure, pushing him, hey, like, have you called? Hey, have you, you know, checked to see if they called your color? Just basically trying to enforce that, because I want him to be better, and I want him to do great, and to be something more than just being stuck in the system. You know, he was in prison for 10 years, and it gets kind of hard to adjust to life, you know, being out and actually doing normal things and not getting fast money or not living the fast life, you know, actually going to a regular job and working for your money the honest way, you know. And as you can see his background, he you know, he went in when he was 17 years old. So how much can he have experience with, you know, working or really adulting or even just necessarily living life like a normal person, you know, because of course he was committing crimes prior to that. So I could tell you he was not doing that. Now he was going to work, coming home. Yeah, he ran into a couple people here and there, which got him into some trouble, but I'm pretty sure that he's pretty well aware of, you know, those mistakes now, and I wouldn't think that would happen again.
So, Ms. Sanchez, what other family support? Is there a family here? I know that you have a support system and that you work on.
He has a sister, Amanda Martinez. He has his brother, Martin. He has two little sisters. They're 15 and 16 years old. I mean, my main support is my family, my mom, my sisters, you know, everybody on my end, because we brought him into our home, so we wanted to help him, you know, better himself. So in regards to his family, yeah, his family's around, but he was living with me, you know, so we were the ones that were taking care of, making him feel welcome, making him feel okay, making him feel like he can not determine himself as a, you know, as a delinquent or as a felon, you know what I mean? So most importantly, I think it's just giving the opportunity of being able to take a second chance and see, you know, if he's really going to do something with this, or if he's just going to continue living this lifestyle.
Okay, Ms. Ms. Sanchez, the board have any questions? All right, thank you. Okay, Mr. Martinez? Sir, we are coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before the board goes into discussion?
Yes. I know that when I did get out of prison, I was doing good, and I kind of fell. I feel because of the drugs and the temptation, but I know now, I know what I need to do and what I wouldn't do. I know that there's going to be a responsibility and I'm ready for it. And I might have a slight drug problem, but I need the right help, and I think the program I was going to, like she said, was just I go there for 3 days at a time, and then I get released, and it really wasn't the help that I needed, and I think then I didn't think I needed help. I thought, like, oh, I have this under control, but in the end, I started realizing, like, man, maybe I do need a little help, but just the right help. I think I'm ready now because when I came back in here, I realized, like, man, I'm back in here over a drug problem. And I mean, I wasn't committing a crime. I wasn't, that whole life for me is, it's over. I mean, I'm an adult now, and I just don't want to live this life anymore and make these childish decisions. But I just need a little bit of help, and I think I know that I'll do good.
Okay, Mr. Martinez, you were 17 years old when you got incarcerated, sir.
Yes.
Okay, and were you using drugs before you went in prison, or you picked that habit up after you?
Well, I was using marijuana, cocaine. And then once I went to prison, I got introduced to meth and heroin, and I never even seen those drugs ever until I came in here. And I think this is where I picked up my addiction.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, sir, you had a PO that was working with you and putting you in a lot of programs. And I hear you say that the programs weren't right for you, but it's kind of apparent to me that the most important thing about it is you, is that you have to want to be able to make that change and do something about it with your life. And whatever programs that you're in, you have to learn to take advantage of it. You can't use an excuse to say, well, it wasn't the right program for me, because if you're determined to get off drugs and do the right thing, sir, you will, whatever program or opportunities you have, you will take advantage of it. And not relapse into it. But I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. So Mr. Martinez, I don't see the board having any additional questions for you. The board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, sir, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line, however, to remain silent while the board's in discussion, okay? So that you can hear the conversation taking place amongst the board. Then after that, sir, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, and then get back with you with the determination of the board, okay?
Okay.
All right. The board is now into discussion. It is definitely apparent that Mr. Martinez had a PO that was working with him and really trying hard to get him involved in some program. Mr. Martinez says that he just got with some old friends. He was doing well. He's had Mrs. Sanchez, whose girlfriend has testified that she's worked with him. Her and her family have been his support base to work with him and try to show him a different side. And doing it, that he did work and he tested positive. His first 7 UAs were all negative, and then he just started to relapse. And according to Mr. Martinez, once he started down that hill, he just went all the way down the hill. But now that he's back in prison, he's had an opportunity to rethink it, and he feels as though that if he was able to get into some programs, that he will do well. I do think that Ms. Sanchez and her family are a good representative of trying to be a support system for her. I think she's very sincere. I'm going to say that Mr. Martinez was 17 years old when he went to prison. This is his first time actually being out. He actually went to prison for some real serious things, burglary, armed robbery, kidnapping. But when he got out, he was doing well. I think that he and I'm going to use, I don't know the exact words, but kind of what Ms. Sanchez was saying, that he just had a little bit too much freedom, and he, you know, it's reporting once a month, he thought he could get away with it. I think that's true. I think that I'm willing to give Mr. Martinez another shot of trying to get himself together. However, there would have to be some very strict amendments to go to it. Like, I'd like to see him on a monitoring system, see him enrolled in a program, and then see him on some restrictions where he's not able to have that freedom and try to get himself together while he's out. He still have over a year left on his community supervision. He has a release date of September 19th of 2019. So that's just where I'm at, Mr. Martinez. I'd like to hear the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm just concerned about the fact that he was discharged or failed to participate from every class that he went to. I mean, he was discharged from the Community Accountability Program at CHC. He only completed 3 out of 25 exercises required at the ITH program. He was discharged due to having pills that didn't belong to him. He's failed to participate or complete any program for substance abuse he's been placed in. So I'm not hearing strong, you know, feelings from him about, I will do that, I will participate, I will go. I'm not hearing that. So I don't know, that's just my concern.
I think you're not hearing that. He did state that once he got with some of his old friends, he just went downhill. He went all the way downhill once he got with his old friends. I think that, and I'll tell you one of my reasons. He was 17 years old when he actually went to prison.
Yes.
That, you know, is having a big role on me, that he was still a young man, a teenager when he actually went to prison. He did 10 years in prison, and he got out, and he just maybe had a little bit too much freedom when he got out and started to go down the wrong path. I would like to see him participate in some of these programs and have more of a strict monitoring system to see if that would help him get himself together and stay in line so that he'd be a productive citizen and not get involved in negative activity or have to go back. But you're right, he stated when he got in those programs, he was gone, and he actually got hooked on meth and heroin while he was incarcerated in prison. So I introduced to those. I think that because of his age when he went to prison, that weighs heavily on him, that he was 17 years old, that, you know, giving him another opportunity under some stricter conditions. I think, as Ms. Sanchez said, he's never been involved in having to work, having to pay bills, and having to do those things. And I think, if he can survive under being under a monitor system with some more stricter regulations, I think Mr. Martinez, if he's serious about wanting to get off drugs, then he can do it. Any of the other colleagues have any comments? Okay, therefore, I am going to make a motion to reinstate or continue Mr. Martinez on supervision. However, I'd only make that motion with some, the same conditions along with some amended conditions. And one of them would be that he must enter and successfully complete a treatment program that offers substance abuse as well as a mental health treatment. And the reason I say mental health treatment is because he's been incarcerated for a long time. This is all going to be new to him, so that he would do that, and that he'd have to any treatment program at the parole officer's discretion. Put that the PO would have to start verification upon the first positive diluted mist or unsuitable for testing UA, and I would recommend a GPS monitoring system for 90 days with the removal at the discretion of a parole officer. Those would be my reasons, and I'm going to go ahead and make that motion and just go back through it. I'm going to make a motion to continue or reinstate Mr. Martinez on community supervision. I'm going to also mark with the same conditions along with some amended conditions. And those amended conditions are going to include recommended placement as I'm going to mark must enter and successfully complete the treatment program that offers substance abuse treatment as well as mental health treatment. I'm going to also mark treatment programs at the parole officer's discretion. I'm going to say the PO to start verification upon the first positive diluted mist unsuitable for testing unexcused UA, and recommend GPS monitoring for 90 days with the removal at the discretion of the parole officer if he sees fit to continue it longer than that period of time. I also want to I think that think about his release back to Ms. Sanchez, but I don't know if that should be at the parole officer's discretion or not, but I discussed it. But that is my motion at this time.
Second.
It's a motion by myself.
I disagree.
Second by Mr. Neal. Disagree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Disagree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Dr. Wright?
I'm going to disagree again, too. I apologize.
Disagree, Dr. Wright? Okay, so we got a 2-2, which means a motion failed. All right, Mr. Martinez? Do we make a second motion? No, just that motion fails. Okay. So, Mr. Martinez?
Yes.
You've heard the discussion taking place amongst the board. There was a motion to continue or reinstate you on your community supervision with the same conditions or amended conditions, and you heard what those amended conditions were. The board has voted 2-2. Therefore, that motion fails. So you will be released from custody on September 19th of 2019, sir. That's a little bit over a year from now. So while you're incarcerated, try to get involved in some NAAA programs. I know you said you have taken the relapse prevention program that you've already taken. Continue to take some of those programs while you're incarcerated so that when you do get out, work with your CO3 on any programming that you can do so that when you get out, sir, that you can be stronger, to be able to be stronger to not do drugs or not get in any trouble or have any negative contacts with law enforcement. You are still a very young man and able to do that. You do have a good support base coming from Ms. Sanchez. I think that she's very sincere in trying to help you and making sure that you get straight, but it's going to take some effort. I think you have a little bit, you know, you say you have a little drug problem, but, you know, heroin and methamphetamine are some very strong drugs, and you can get off those drugs if you work on it and work hard at it, and you have a good life. Look at it as working on continuing your life once you get out, so that when you get out in a year's time, that you'll be able to be strong, continue, get you another job and work. And so hopefully you will not have any more negative contacts with law enforcement, nor would you ever have to appear before this board again in Orange, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Martinez. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity to participate in your hearing today, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Sanchez, thank you for coming down.
Thank you.